This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have that conspiratorial voice from Chris O'Brien, so we know where we're going to go. But I want to just go back to one other thing, and I know we're hitting back and forth about this subject, and that is mentioning Barney and Betty Hill and possible indications there this was a sighting of either some kind of test aircraft or maybe an attempt at mind control, which was popular in the 70s especially. And the thing that always struck me about Barney and Betty Hill is, of course, the fact that their best friends were at the nearby military base, for one. Wouldn't they be ideal candidates or have been ideal candidates for some kind of experiment to test the reaction of Earthlings to the possible visitation by aliens? What do you think, Olaf?
You know, it's possible. I mean, as we've discovered just in having a conversation now, right, the conspiracy theories can go all over the place. You know, many, many times when you have a conspiracy theory, there are several angles. You know, on one hand, there's good evidence of something, but on the other hand, there's bad evidence. And, you know, one element of a person could be credible and another element could be you could discredit them. It's possible. I think that they obviously had some sort of block put in there after it happened. I don't know whether it was us or the people that they actually met with that put that block into place. But it's obvious when you listen to the hypnotic regressions that there's a lot of fear and they are having problems reconciling it. You know, some sort of hypnotic suggestion was put in there, but I can't tell you whether we did it or they did it. I mean, I will say that there has been evidence presented over time of the Mill Lab scenario where people are picked up and they believe they've been abducted, and later through hypnotic regression, which is good and bad, you know, it can definitely be steered. And you do see some of that in the Betty and Barney Hill story, that there was some steering involved. It changes the dynamic. I mean, it makes sense. You know, I think that it could have happened. It could have happened later as well, like with Mill Lab. But I don't know that we know enough about the Betty and Barney Hill scenario completely and utterly to be able to make that kind of judgment. The problem with conspiracy theory, right, is that it's like following breadcrumbs. That you find this trail of breadcrumbs, but you know, some of the birds have gotten at the breadcrumbs, and so there are holes in the kind of trail, and you have to kind of bridge those holes somehow, right? And so you're left a lot of times you're left with these tantalizing mysteries. For example, there was I want to say it was in 1970 that, like, I think it was Saga put out I forget who wrote it, but they put out an article, and what this person had done is they had taken iconography, supposed iconography off of UFOs and presented it and said, okay, well, these are symbols that are seen on UFOs. And I wrote an article about this. And when you look at the iconography, it was taken off the UFOs, right? That there's, you know, in one case, there's like a red star, and then it says, you know, it has a bunch of numbers, and it says like UN, and that has a bunch of numbers. And then, you know, there's another one where it's a series of chevrons. And if you look at the iconography, right, and you compare it to actual symbols, that you see, like, there's a symbol that is almost a complete match for the Union of Fascists, British Fascists, right, which was a Nazi organization in Britain in the 30s and the 40s, or the chevrons match fairly closely a kind of symbol that was put on the side of Luftwaffe aircraft. Or, you know, if you think about it logically, why would a UFO have American, you know, English, American English letters and numbers printed on the side of it? Especially, let's say, UN. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But what you get is you've got a UFO sighting. The person says, okay, well, I saw this symbol. And then it's like, well, what does that symbol mean? Right? Is it an alien symbol? Is it a human symbol? So you've got to make some assumptions. And I think that's ultimately the downfall of conspiracy theory. I mean, you can even see it in the JFK thing, right? That, you know, was E. Howard Hunt one of the tramps or not? Well, it kind of looks like him, but it kind of doesn't.
Right. Or Fred Chrisman.
Right.
Or going back to your symbols idea, the whole UMO event. Socorro is a classic example of a symbol that was, from the very get-go, was altered so that people reporting that symbol would be factored out of any sighting report investigations by the Air Force. Ray Stanford, you know, has recently, Ray Stanford being the one of the primary initial private investigators on the case, along with Hynek and the Air Force and the Army, you know, was slam-dunked, the whole idea of there being intentional subterfuge behind the Socorro symbol. There was. It was done at the behest of government investigators. But I want to get back, before we get too far afield here, I want to get back to the whole idea of the Soviets and their capabilities right at the end of World War II. Where do you come down on the whole ghost rockets phenomenon? It was, what, over 200 sightings of what appeared to be something akin to a V-3, possibly a V-4. Of course, the V-1 was the infamous buzz bomb. V-2 was the large rockets that hit London. But we have a whole series of sightings over Scandinavia that seem to be originating from the Soviet Union. I still have not seen slam dunk evidence to, you know, properly ascertain what these objects were, who was firing them, and from where. You said the Soviets had their own sort of Operation Paperclip underway. Where do you come down on, you know, the ghost rockets, number one, and number two, the these whole Foo Fighter orbs that were seen by pilots during the war?
Well, with the ghost rockets, you know, they did apparently emanate from Russia. They flew over Sweden and Norway a lot. I think they could have been tests. It would make sense that they didn't want to fire them over mainland Europe, right? Because they were highly sensitive. And Sweden is, you know, a fairly neutral nation. Norway had fallen on the side of the Germans through occupation. So it was probably a safer trajectory to fire them. You know, it would appear that the Soviets were testing, you know, rockets that they had found or that they had back engineered. Which would make sense. I mean, there's a famous story of I want to say it was like a B-29 that had crashed in Russia, and they back-engineered it, and they had some amazing technicians that back-engineered this thing, and there was a rivet that had sheared off in flight accidentally, and when they rebuilt the B-29, they sheared the rivet just to make sure that it was a one-to-one match for exactly what they had found.
You're saying that, yeah, these were tests. Well, why didn't they just fire them back into Russia so nobody would see? They fired them into.
Is that it sends a message, right? Because the thing that we're always missing as conspiracy researchers or people who are interested in conspiracies is that we're always missing the backstory, right? We see the evidence of what happens, but we're always missing the why. And we're left to try to figure out what the why is. That's why there's so much controversy, right? What would make sense to me is that if the Allies knew, because the relationship with the Soviets broke down very fast, and if the Allies knew that the Soviets were firing these things, I mean, you're talking about a kind of early implementation of mutually assured destruction, right? They're saying, okay, don't mess with me. I have these weapons. Right, the same way that we would do things that are similar, right? We would detonate things and fire things and point things at each other to make sure that they recognize they'll mess with us. Right. So you have this kind of standoff between the two. So that would make sense. As far as the Foo Fighters, you know, I think that was probably some sort of exotic German aircraft. I mean, they had the Comet, which was a rocket-powered airplane that they were firing off at the end of the war. So it wouldn't surprise me if they had some sort of like a gas. I forget what, there's another term for it. It's like a gas ball.
Let's do our break. All right. What were the Foo Fighters? So much more to come with Olav Phillips, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the plasma.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I guess this show is going to become the Plasma Cast with Gene and Chris, Olav Phillips joining us. Olav suggesting that the Foo Fighters were just conventional thingies. So, All the things that were seen during World War II, were they all test aircraft or experiments of some kind? Did any real UFOs get in there somehow?
Well, you know, over time, I've always kind of leaned on the idea of what Hynek and Valley and a lot of the other guys have said, where it's, you know, roughly 10 to 15% of them are anomalous. I mean, what I saw when I was 8 was completely anomalous. I can't explain to you what I saw. You know, I saw another UFO when I was about 14 that looked like the Lazar Sportster model. You know, I don't know if that was alien or if it was a human crew. I saw it. And then the last real UFO that I know for sure was a UFO I saw when I was in my early 20s. And it did things that I've never seen an aircraft do. But I can't tell you who was piloting it.
Things that you never saw an aircraft do, like, for example?
Make 90-degree turns at high speed. They were triangular in shape, and they were flying between two radio masts that were probably 10 to 15 miles apart, maybe 20 miles apart. And they would fly to one and then kind of flip over and fly back and flip over and fly forward and flip over and fly back and flip over. You know, that would have been very uncomfortable, you know, to be upside down for part of the flight, come back, go upside down, come back. So it's odd. It's very odd to have seen it.
Well, some pilots, I think, like that crazy kind of maneuvering, don't they?
Oh, I'm sure it makes it utterly fascinating. But for me, to see an aircraft do a 90-degree turn, that's not something that's very common. Because, you know, conventional aircraft aren't designed to make, you know, high-speed 90-degree turns. They can't do it. It's impossible. You know, they have to make an arc. You know, I mean, that's the problem here, right? The fundamental problem is that, in my mind, you know, I've done a fair amount of research, and I have a kind of world view that I've come up with, you know, of what all this is and how it all fits together, right? But ultimately, you know, when we see an exotic aircraft in the sky, whether it's alien or human, we'll probably never know. The best we can do is guess. If you take a larger worldview, it starts to adjust your perception of what you're seeing, because there's a larger game plan at work. Right. So, you know, to me, a lot of what informs my decision making process is where it's seen and in what context. Right. Because it makes sense that if aliens exist and they found out that we're here, that they would come here and they would watch us. You know, when I was in college, I studied anthropology, and there are different schools of thought about anthropology, but the school of thought that I seem to have been educated in and bought into was the observational method, that we would sit far back from the culture, and in order to not taint it, we would, you know, we'd sit back way back and use binoculars and, you know, telephoto lenses to watch them interact and, you know, and to see what they were doing. There's a more participatory model, but that was never the model that I kind of gravitated towards. But if you take that kind of idea, then a lot of the things that you see that are anomalous, you know, from cattle mutilations to human abductions and everything in between, starts to make sense, at least to me, that, you know, you're testing humans and you're testing cattle to see genetic drift and to see what environmental damage has done to them over time. And, you know, it's kind of like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins up in the helicopter with a tranquilizer rifle. You know, he's going to down that elk, and he's going to go down there, and then they're going to measure it and weigh it and poke it and prod it, you know, so that makes sense. But that's one context. But in a second context, some of these UFOs that people see, they have definite flight patterns. There's one in particular that was very interesting. It was a very bizarrely shaped aircraft. I'll just say aircraft generically. And it was sighted by at least four people, three of whom I know, right? And one person who just, you know, said, hey, I had a sighting. And the trajectory of the aircraft flew north to south from somewhere in the north. I could never determine where, but, you know, flew the length of the West Coast and started to descend in altitude around L.A., right, and around Edwards Air Force Base. Well, that doesn't seem to me to be very UFO-y, right, that they're going to fly, you know, down the coast and they're going to descend and make turns out by Edwards. That sounds like an aircraft to me. So a lot of times the context of where it's going and how it's seen it plays a huge role in the identification of it, right? Because the best you can do is guess. So you have to use all the information you have.
Well, the best I can do is guess when you bring up the subject of cattle mutilations, although I am sitting on quite a database that I'm losing my hair, pulling it out and scratching my head, trying to figure it out. But you mentioned cattle mutilations, and let's digress for a moment and address this particular mystery, if it is a mystery. Where do you come down on the whole cattle mutilation theory, that it's by aliens or it's the government doing environmental testing, or the skeptics say it's all just the work of scavengers and predators? Where do you come down?
Well, like many things, I think it could be either. I think it could be either aliens or the government. I mean, both make sense, right? Although I would argue that if it's the government, you know, they have their own herds. I mean, there are large herds of cows and other animals that are owned by the government in test facilities. You know, they're free range on BLM land, but they're owned by the government and they use it for a variety of reasons. I mean, the school that I went to originally started out as an ag school. So they had a government funded lab on site. They had a herd of cattle and they would bring the cattle in and, you know, take measurements and poke them and prod them and do all those things. So from that point of view, you know, I think it's probably more likely, given the dynamics of the cattle mutilation, that at least some of them could potentially be alien. But at the same time, you know, you look back at some of the research back in the 70s and even earlier with cattle mutilations, you know, they were finding phosphorescent dust that had been scattered on the cows to tag them, and you could run black lights.
That was one case.
Sure, but why would an alien put phosphorescent powder onto a cow? That doesn't make any sense. They wouldn't.
Well, it also doesn't make any sense that the government, before I go further, I believe me when I tell you this, the government does have its own herds. They do all sorts of nefarious experiments on them for whatever reason. But because of the pervasiveness around the world and across the environment of this particular mystery, wouldn't you think that there's something about the environment that is more important than the actual animals?
Yes.
You know, people say, well, Chris, it's aliens gathering genetic material. And my stock answer is, well, why not pick the lock on a slaughterhouse and you can get all the genetic material you need? Obviously, something is monitoring the environment. What do you think?
Let's hold that answer for a moment, and we'll do it in our next segment. Olav Phillips, conspiracy theory researcher, is joining us. You're on with Gene and Chris, and I never know what Chris is going to say when I do this. You're in.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Free time is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris has been taken over by the animals. He is a shapeshifter, like the guy in the TV show True Blood. He's the mayor of the town. And he becomes a bird or a dog or something like that. Okay, Chris asked a long question there of Olaf Phillips, our guest. You have an answer?
Well, I think you're bang on, because they're, A, not always cattle. And B, they're seen all of, this is seen all over the world. I mean, there's evidence of it being done to sheep, cattle, you know, pretty much anything that's a livestock. And it's even humans. I mean, there are cases where supposedly humans were mutilated. In the same way. So, you know, yeah, I would say that it very much, you know, in my mind, I would think that it very much is trying to understand the environmental impact of a region or a location or some other element within a localized group of organisms is probably the best way I could put it.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what you mean by that, but I think if you're going to test the quality of the environment, probably the most likely and efficient way to do that would be to test, you know, the animals that live in that environment.
Right.
But I think, like UFOs, like many of these conspiratorially tinged subjects that we cover on the Paracast, there is no one-size-fits-all answer. It is a morass of potential explanations that all kind of dovetail together to create something that's bewildering. And when people get bewildered, Olaf, as you know, they tend to tune out. And the more uncertainty, the more possibility for multiple players become involved in a particular mystery, the more people throw their hands up and just don't want to deal with it. How do we drill down on all these various conspiracy theories, from JFK to forbidden archaeology, UFOs, cattle deaths, abductions, all these mysteries that have tons of data to support all sorts of conclusions or refute them. How do we drill down to the truth?
You know, I don't know that you always can. And I think that at least in some situations, like the cattle mutilations, that could be by design. But I think that the problem is that, you know, like you said, there's no one size fits all. And as humans, the way we organize information in our minds, we want a one size fits all answer, right? Because it's, you want to apply Occam's razor and take the simplest explanation and say, okay, got it, move on. Although we are attracted, I think, to mysteries, we're attracted to mysteries to a point. When it becomes too complex, then we do, I would agree with you, tune out. But I think the best you can do is to take an individual situation and investigate it as much as you can, right? And to take all the available data and to see where that takes you. And then say, okay, I think this time this means X. And then the next one comes around, and then you know, you start to do the same thing, and you drill down as far as you can go into that one situation and say, okay, this means Y. And over time, you know, if you have enough X's and Y's, you start to see a pattern, right? Like, for example, UFO sightings, right? If you take a look at the geographic distribution of UFO sightings, they tend to fall along the coasts, the East Coast and the West Coast, and with some exceptions, it's a lot lighter in the middle. Well, population density would argue that if you're going to have a large number of sightings around population-dense areas, because there are a lot of people walking around looking at things, saying, okay, well, I don't know what that is. I guess it's a UFO. They go to a UFO database and they enter, I saw a weird light. So it kind of convolutes the situation.
Yes, but UFOs, the problem being, every time you think you've got the pattern, the five-year cycle for five. So it's the East Coast and the West Coast. But what about sightings in places like Mississippi or Minnesota, the central part of the country? Of course, in places they're not necessarily near the coast. So there's always the exception that doesn't prove the rule in the UFO field. Right. And that gets to be more and more confusing. If there is a game plan, I think all the efforts to unearth that game plan haven't come to very much. What do you think, Olav, about the theory of portal or window areas, specific locations that attract more than their share of unusual events?
Well, I never really investigated it too heavily. You know, like most people, you got to pick them. but there are places that definitely appear to have higher than normal odd activity. The problem is that those areas tend to have a wide range of odd activity. So, you know, you take the Skinwalker Ranch, you know, they'll get cryptids, they'll get ghosts, they'll get UFOs, cattle mutilations. It's like an encyclopedia. You know, there's the valley in southern Colorado, right? That, you know, it's the same kind of thing. They get a lot of different things going on there. And frankly, you know, based on what I've seen, it would appear that there are places on the earth that have strange things happen that could be caused by portals or a whole number of things. But, you know, I don't know that in those situations outside of the Skinwalker Ranch, I don't know that in the San Luis Valley or some of these other locations, if anyone has ever tried to really understand it, to try outside of just looking at these sightings and saying, okay, you know, after the fact, this is what I can figure out, to like proactively go down there and take readings of the gravitational fields in the area, or to try at altitude, even, you know, float a balloon, figure out, you know, wind patterns and all the environmental aspects that would show you.
Olav, hold on. If you're talking about Skinwalker Ranch, you're wrong. There was a crack scientific team that was doing that. And
no, that's why I said the exception is Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, in the San Luis Valley. I'm in the midst of putting together a, you know, 24/7 surveillance camera setup. So yeah, there are proactive.
That's the one difference, is that NIDS went into Skinwalker Ranch with the intent to do that. But I think that in most cases they don't. That these areas that seem to be hotspots of strange activity. I mean, you look at some of these areas like around Taos, the people claim to go through dimensional rifts and they claim to go back in time and all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, there's no NIDs out there trying to investigate. The only one that I know of where they are doing all those things is Skinwalker Ranch because NIDS is doing it. And I think that's the shining example.
We're talking about conspiracies here, and that could be a red herring, too. Keep everybody's attention on that or Roswell or wherever.
Right.
And the real thing could be going on elsewhere. Now, it's interesting you talk about Taos. I live just a few hours north of there. That was part of my investigative Petri dish, if you will. And I've never heard stories of people going through dimensional time-based type things there, although Donald Rumsfeld has a 50,000-acre elk ranch just north of there, about 40 minutes.
Or maybe he's gone through dimensional rifts, and we've got right now the duplicate, not the original.
That could be.
Well, I think it's important to identify areas that seem to have a preponderance of and variety and intensity of unusual experiences and throw the powers of diagnostic science at it as and you got to factor in, obviously, that tricksterish element that's always present. And the more you factor in your compulsion to document things in a particular location, it seems you're more apt to have tricksterish type events occur. The more focus you put on it, the more convoluted and inexplicable it becomes. When we come back, let's address the problems that we have trying to drill down through the conspiracies to the truth.
Is there a truth about some of these conspiracies? A very good point made by Chris O'Brien. Of course, he's the Mysterious Valley guy. That's a secret name. He knows so much about that place. Our guest this week is Olav Phillips, who's going to have some answers on the other side here. He's a long-term conspiracy researcher, and he says, oh boy, he's got plenty, so we'll find out. Right now we're going to figure out what Chris will say when I utter these words. You're in
the Paracast. Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you,
the number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Well, that was simple. Okay. In response to some comments from Chris O'Brien and the fact that we'll drill down more into conspiracy theories in this segment, Olav, what's your response?
Well, you know, again, I think that the shining example, is, and it's good and it's bad, is the Skinwalker Ranch. And it's locked it down. You know, they don't let anybody in and out of that place because they're controlling it so they can try to figure out what's going on in there. But I think that you absolutely do have to apply diagnostic science to it. And, you know, I think you have to try to apply diagnostic science to pretty much any conspiracy theory, that you've got to see where the tracks lead and try to make sense out of it. A lot of times, you know, there's disinformation and human fallibility built into these things, and it becomes it's almost finding the truth in some conspiracies is almost like finding a needle in a haystack. You know,
a needle in many haystacks, I think, would be more appropriate. But
I think you're right.
Olav, Ryan Skinner was on the show recently, and it brought up a very interesting thread at forum.theparacast.com. where a new signee came in and said, this is all just, you know, it's subterfuge. It's the government playing games with us. It's all tricksterish. Where do you come down on the Skinwalker Ranch scenario as being some sort of, you know, dog and pony show that's trying to give us the idea that it's something truly high, strange, and inexplicable, when some people are suggesting that it could be very mundane and very psyops oriented, or something that's being designed to elicit the response from people in the area as being high strange, but in fact it's very premeditated and very terrestrial in nature.
You know, it's hard to answer that. I mean, it could be, but if the government applied the level of resources that would be required to do it on a mass scale, because there are a number of hot spots. I mean, Skinwalker Ranch and the San Luis Valley are only two, you know, and then as you said, there's Taos and others, you know, to create PSYOPs programs for every one of these, or even a massive PSYOPs program that covers all of them, that's a lot of resources. So, you know, I think that there is weirdness that happens in a lot of these locations. And I think that we need to, you know, have better scientific investigation of them. But as far as...
And I totally agree. And pardon me for interrupting, but is it possible that areas that all of a sudden are exposed by the media as being hotspot areas, is there the likelihood that the government gloms onto this and then starts feeding the cultural means into those areas to create this focus there. And then they play around with it and see how people respond. If we do this, how will that affect, the investigators? How will that disseminate itself into the culture? Do you think that some of these areas are being targeted for disinformation campaigns and some sort of, psyops type program?
Yes, but I think only some of them. I think that you would see that in places where it would behoove the government to do that. For example, UFOs over Area 51, Nellis, S4, whatever you want to call it. That would make sense, right? Because they're trying to shift the focus from what's actually going on at Area 51. So it would make sense that the disinformation mill would feed out various stories about Area 51 Dulce. Right. There's been a long term fight over whether Dulce is real or not. And
that's Dulce is very real. I've been there. I've actually spent quite a bit of time there.
But what did you see?
A lot of Jicarilla Apaches scratching their heads going, don't ask me. We're seeing hairy, small 2 foot hairy dwarves that we don't talk about.
But is there a massive underground base there where they fought a war?
Of course, I don't know definitively. My suspicion is that, no, that's a red herring for possibly burying very toxic nuclear waste in a sovereign country outside the U.S.
And that's my point, is that in the case of Dulce, there are strange things happening there. The Apache and other indigenous groups of the area, regard it, as a place of strangeness, but the whole story constructed about the underground facility with the test vats and, aliens, putting humans through like grinders and making pastes and
nightmare hall
wars and all this.
Where was Vincent Price when you needed him?
Right. But
I could just hear the fateful words that he uttered. It just really seems to fit the spirit of our show. Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour, forget it.
But, that would definitely be one of those cases where it's like, it would make sense to spread some disinformation around there because, they probably are dumping toxic waste and hazardous materials in the area, and they don't want a lot of discussion about it, so they're going to construct this story that scares the crap out of most people, and they won't go near it, unless you be abducted by gray aliens and taken down into the base, right? So, again, that is a situation where they took, cryptid sightings in the area and kind of lumped a bunch of stuff on top of it. There's a whole Benowitz thing, It's like that's one of those cases where I think, you see some disinformation come into play. But there are other areas, where strange things happen. The exact locations can't come to mind, but they, odd things happen there and nobody talks about it. The locals are very, scared of it. Occasionally you get somebody who can break through that wall of silence and investigate it a little bit. And, those are more legitimate. But I personally think something's going on. I don't think that Bigelow and NIDS would go to the lengths that they've gone to. And they're not exactly suppressing information. They just don't broadcast any of it at all. But that's something that they have a long track record of doing, which is suspect. But
what about the conspiracy theory that NIDS initially and now Bigelow Aerospace are nothing more than a cutout organization that is applying some sort of window dressing for what may be some quote unquote conspiratorial government program that is actually behind some, if not most, of the activity that's being reported there. And not only there, but the San Luis Valley, you could go to Gulf Breeze, the Hudson Valley sightings in the 80s, the M Triangle in Russia. This is not just a U.S. thing for all our international listeners here, these types of scenarios exist all over the planet. You have the Pine Gap facility in Australia. You have some very, very intriguing reports, obviously, from South America and Mexico and other places. Do you think that there's a possibility that the government is pumping information into the media and you know, the cultural meme is spreading from areas, and the ones that actually grow legs may then become the fodder for new PSYOPs programs, new ideas of how to manipulate events and gauge the response?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that, see, the thing about disinformation, right, as a thing, is that you always have to have the golden thread, that somewhere in all that disinformation is the truth. And it's called the golden thread, right? And you wrap this untruths around the truth. So I think that yeah, definitely, you know, these places are co-opted. But, you know, something weird has to happen there first. And then it has to behoove the government or governments to cover up that area for some reason. And then they start to wrap, they start to expand it. Like Adamski and his stories, it starts to grow exponentially around something that actually happened. These places that you mentioned, you know, that something weird happened, and then the government said, well, you know what? If we create a mystical underground base that does human cloning and we fought a war and all this other stuff, you know, then we can make a bigger story that people are kind of afraid of, or we can focus them at this location so they're not looking over here where we're doing bad things. But I think that in the beginning, there has to be something that happened there legitimately. And then if the environment is right, I don't think it's so much a cultural experiment. I think it's more just a misdirection.
Before we get, yeah, the question would be to what end, but we'll have that question answered on the other side, because this opens a lot of cans of worms, not just one. We have to kind of put that together. We have some questions from our listeners to express in our next segment. We have Olaf Phillips. He's a conspiracy theory researcher. And we have Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.